All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Hope everybody is doing well. If I hadn't got a chance to talk to you, man, thank you so much for being here this morning. Everybody hear me okay out there? All right. This is my first time to teach at the new digs here. I like this. Norton's Florist. Thank you so much. Well, I want to start by reading the first words of today's scripture and then kind of backtrack for just a second. I think you'll see why I feel led to do this. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 3 this week. If you've been joining us, you know that we've been in this study in Ephesians. Paul writing the letter to the church of Ephesus and then also meant to be distributed around, hence us reading it as well today as we are the church. So Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says these words, three words, for this reason. So anytime you come to Scripture, this is, just extra here this morning. It's not just for Ephesians. When you come to a place in Scripture where it says the words therefore or for this reason or something like it, it's always good to take into context what the author is trying to say. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, we know the Holy Spirit, God breathes, the word, but inspired authors to write. And so when they come to a point where they say, therefore, or for this reason, it's always good to backtrack and kind of see where we're at. And so I want to do that today. So Paul starts in 3:1 and says, for this reason. So it's obviously something he's just said, and he's going to get into some other things that he's about to say to kind of go on top of for this reason. So if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, you know that 2 weeks ago, our brother Freddie, he always does such an awesome job when he teaches and did so that week. He taught on this verse, who we were once far off, but have been brought near. I want to tell you this morning, so much of the heartbeat of what we do as a church is wrapped up in this verse right here. Everybody look this way for me this morning. If you know Jesus right now, I want to see, if you know him, you were once far off, but because of the grace of Jesus, he has brought you near. That's good news, isn't it? That's the gospel wrapped up in a nutshell. You were once far off, and he's brought you near. No longer aliens or strangers, it says, but in the family of God. That's what Freddie talked about, this big idea of family, these fellow citizens brought together in the household of God. That's what this is, right? It's an extension of what we one day will see. This is a small family, a small gathering, but the church in the whole is the family of God. That's what Paul is talking about, that we once were far off, but we've been brought near. And then our brother Michael followed up last week and talked about continuing in that family, that Jesus is the cornerstone. In fact, Charlie just said it a second ago in our prayer. Joe was with us over there. He heard it, that Jesus is the hero of the story. In case you haven't figured that out or been around us enough, that is why we exist. Jesus is the hero of the story. The most dramatic rescue mission in all of human history happens with the redemption of the cross of Jesus Christ. So Jesus being the cornerstone, Michael talked about that, did a wonderful job. And then taking from there, it said, Jesus is the cornerstone, but the apostles and prophets, the foundation of their teaching. So it's all about Jesus. He has always been, right? And so this family and the house and dwelling place of God. By the way, I want to give Michael a special shout out. Freddie did an awesome job 2 weeks ago, and then last week, Michael teaches in the middle. Who was here last week? Pop-up shower out of nowhere, right? And he just, man, he did a good job, just kept on going. It answers the question, if you ever had an idea, if you're new, and say, man, what do you do if it rains out here? We get wet. That's just the answer, all right? So rain or shine, we'll be here. I think we've shown that. We've been in the snow, hurricane, whatever, man. We'll be here, Lord willing. So, man, awesome job by him teaching about that dwelling place, that foundation of the apostles and prophets' teaching. So this family and dwelling place, for this reason. So Paul starts today and says, for this reason. So he's speaking of the family of God, these Gentiles that are the non-Jewish people, right, brought far off, brought near to God by Jesus, and then made into this family and a dwelling place. And Paul starts today for this reason. So that's in his mind. So think about that as we read today's scripture, and then we'll see as he goes further, okay? So here's today's scripture, Ephesians 3, 1 through 13. We'll try to get through all this. We may not today. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardships of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light everyone what the plan, mystery, hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. You pray with me this morning. Father, we thank you for your word, and we believe as we stand here this morning, August 1st, isn't that right? August 1st, 2021. We believe that just as this letter was written to the church of Ephesus, that there is something powerful in it for us today. And so we pray your blessings over this time in the Word. Father, as Charlie prayed again, that just echoes in my mind. Jesus, you are the hero of the story. You are the meaning of this gathering. Your family, you, Jesus, are the head of not only this church, but your church, the global body of you, Jesus. And so everything said and done, your eternal purpose, as Paul says, for the glory of you, Jesus, we pray and we ask these things. Speak to our hearts this morning. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we're going to try our best to get through these 13 verses. We may cut it a little short, but I want to start back again for this reason, this continuing thought that Paul has. So for the reasons that he had just written, he said, we are the family of God. Can I tell you something this morning? I want you to look here this morning. We hope and pray that you feel a family atmosphere when you come here this morning. Now, some of you immediately when I say that, you may picture a family gathering where there's a bunch of arguing or fighting. We're not talking about that kind of family gathering, right? We're talking about one where everyone has a seat at the table. No matter what condition they come into this place, no matter what they've done, what they're doing, or what they will do, the grace of Jesus, we believe, pays for everyone a seat at the table. Amen? Everybody with me on that? And so this is a family gathering, and that's great, and it's beautiful. And I look and I see our food truck here that we've, you know, packed full of supplies, and we love the model that we have. And I see the church at Southside on the side of that truck, and that's beautiful. It's this small, intimate family gathering, and that's great, and it's wonderful. But I want you to know it doesn't stop there. You see, we're just in preparation for the big family gathering that is to come. Right? You have a seat at the main table. And not just a seat at the table as a friend or an outlier or just somebody that maybe just makes it by the skin of their teeth. No, you are a fellow heir, a family member that Jesus has bought and paid for a seat at the table. That's the good news. That's the gospel. So we are family. And Paul still has this in his mind as he writes the church of Ephesus. And he's saying for this reason, he's still thinking about we are a family of God. And we are also this spiritual foundation, this building, if you will, built up into one body. Right? That means that if we are believers in Jesus, not just the church at Southside, but the church that meets down the road, down the state, down the county, all across this nation, our world, our brothers and sisters that are in churches gathered together as family, the church of Jesus Christ is this family and this spiritual building where Jesus is the cornerstone, and then based on the foundation of the apostles and prophets' teaching. For this reason, Paul writes, but he also will continue this thought. In fact, spoiler alert for the weeks to come, verse 14, Paul is kind of like this spirit animal of mine in this sense. If you ever notice scripture, I'm terrible at the English language. You can kind of hear it in my dialect, right? My accent. If you didn't know, I have an accent, right? It's Southern English, as you might have picked up on. Sometimes I get subconscious about that. I'll hear myself talk if somebody plays something like, whew, it's bad, but that's what I got, right? All right, so, but we hear this, and then Paul, what he does is a lot of times he'll start this long run-on sentence. He can't finish a sentence. I'm the same way. Don't know how to use commas. I don't know how to use punctuation. I think I slept through those parts of English class. But he carries on these long run-on thoughts, and then he'll almost lose track of where he was going, and then he'll pick back up and be, oh yeah, like I was saying. So if you'll look at this, in chapter 3, he starts, for this reason, and then he goes this run-on, where basically he stops that thought. He talks about all this other stuff in 13 verses, and then verse 14, here's what he says, for this reason. So he gets back to the place where he was trying to go in the first part, all right? So even in Scripture, God breathed, we've got Paul's character coming through of this run-on just statement and getting very preachery on us, right? Two things you can never trust is when a preacher checks his watch, he doesn't care what time it is, right? And then when he says, I'm about to close, I do that sometimes and then I'll talk on for 15 minutes. So don't ever listen to those couple of things. I'm checking my watch now. It means nothing. It's 11:22. I'm really checking the sky, make sure we don't get one of them pop-ups again today. But Paul's going to continue this thought on in just a little while, this verse 14, for this reason. He'll pick that back up. So in the weeks to come, we'll see that. But for today, for this reason, yes, he's talking about we're a family. Yes, he's talking about this spiritual building, the foundation of which is Jesus and then the apostles and prophets teaching, but also what he's about to say. Listen to what he says here. If you remember, he's writing this letter in chains. He is a prisoner. Not a prisoner because, like maybe some of us, he's done something that deserved him getting caught and being arrested. I want you to listen to this morning. He is a prisoner because solely of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about Paul's life for a minute. He is one that was this great persecutor. Marcus, you know this, right? He was Saul, right? The persecutor, literally putting people in prison and possibly even to death because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And then he makes such a 180 turn that he was persecuting the church. It's, in fact, in Acts, it says that Saul was ravaging the church. To now he has made this 180, and everyone he encounters, he is telling this news. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. You can't get any different than that, right? So he's made such a 180. He's turning the world upside down by his witness, by his life, by his missionary journeys. Everywhere he goes, he's teaching. If you've got maps in your Bible, you can look. This is, again, before cars, right? Before Uber. Like, Paul is taking many of these journeys by ship and then by miles and miles by foot everywhere he goes, teaching of the gospel, the grace, the mercy of Jesus, to the point that he has been arrested for his faith. This man is causing so much damage to the status quo, we must arrest him. So he is writing this letter in chains. He is a prisoner, but listen to what he says. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for who? Christ Jesus on your behalf. How many of you have a bad day and it kind of just throws you off from the whole Jesus thing, right? you have a pity party and you say, man, Jesus, if you really loved me, right? If you really cared about, if you were really for me, then everything would be going smoothly. Paul is in prison, knows that he is heading towards a death one day because of his faith, which he does lose his life because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says this, for this reason, I am a prisoner for Christ on behalf of you. He is excited that he is a prisoner for Jesus' sake and for the sake of the gospel. You with me? That's who we got writing this message. For this reason, I am excited that I am in chains, and it is for your honor, it is for your behalf that I am here and I am able to write you this letter. I'm just going to say, I would not have the same attitude other than be it for the grace of God. Can't imagine being grateful that you are in chains. So Paul is writing, so that you may know that you are family. That's what he's continuing for this reason. He writes this letter to let you know, by the way, the best news that you will hear today, everybody look this way. You are in. I want you to picture that. The King of Kings, the creator of this universe, looks at you and in spite of what you've done, says you are in. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do some kind of special dance. By the way, I've seen some of you dance. You couldn't make it in on your dancing ability. I couldn't either. Got no rhythm. But I'm going to tell you what, because of the grace of Jesus, you are in should you choose to accept it. And he says this. He goes on and says, this mystery, right? In other words, Paul is even wrapping his mind around, it's such a mystery that I can't explain it. He's grown up in a Jewish heritage that it says that you have to be the chosen people. And Paul is flipping the script based on what Jesus has shown him. The Holy Spirit has shown him. He's saying, no, you're all in because of what Jesus has done, Jew and Gentile alike. He is in chains, and by God's grace, he says, I have been given this job to let you know that you are not only in, but you are fellow heirs to God. Verse 10, he goes and he says, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. Here's what I want to tell you. Some of you will know this name. We've got a friend from back in our days when we started the church at Southside. Started at my house. And then we grew to needing a building, and then God led us to coming out here. A brother of ours, Jason Cook, used to teach on this passage, and he would talk about the place where we get to this spiritual building. And he said, if you could, to picture this cartoon version of this building, right? This building that somehow, yes, it is a structure. Jesus, the cornerstone, the apostles and prophets teaching, the foundation and all that God has done throughout time. And then this being built up into this spiritual building. Kind of takes me back to the movie Big. Anybody remember the movie Big? Tom Hanks? Do you remember when he got this job with the folks that were making the toys? And he was like this I don't know, 12-year-old kid trapped in a man's body. And they're pitching this idea of a toy that was this building, this transformer. Do you remember that? And he was saying, but it's no fun to play with. It's just a building, right? To be, Daniel, I wish Freddie was here this morning. He's my Transformers guy. But if you had Transformers, you had to have something cool to play with on both ends of it. It couldn't just be a building and then turn into a robot. You had to have something cool. But think about it in this sense. This is amazing that you and I are a part of the family of God, this foundation that is the cornerstone, Jesus, the apostles and prophets, yet grown up to be this spiritual building. But not just that, for a purpose. Verse 10 talks about it, so that the manifold wisdom of God may be made known. Look at me this morning. I want you to know this. If you've never felt love, if you've never felt included, it hit me this week that some just don't feel like they belong anywhere. Not only do you fit in, not only are you wanted here, look at me this morning. I don't care what shape you come in. I don't care if you're hungover from the night before. You're not going to hear a lot of places say that. We want you here. You're welcome here. But not just that. It's such a small picture to say we welcome you at the church at Southside. but you are welcomed into the family of God, and not just welcomed, but a part of the plan. Listen to it again, so that the church, I got to explain something. I don't want to take for granted that you understand what the church is. Everybody look to the food truck. It's got our name on it. This little small family gathering is the church at Southside. If you want to take the church in the name of that and give it a small C, it is just this gathering, this small, intimate family gathering. But if you take the church and you capitalize it, it is every believer throughout the course of history. And the ones that have yet to believe that will believe one day. The church is this global body of Jesus Christ. And here's what he says about the church. You and me, the body, the people, that we are the plan to unveil the manifold wisdom of God. His plan to show the world about his wisdom, his honor, his glory is you. My friend, you can't feel any more included than that. You are the plan that he has to show his wisdom, his honor, his glory to the entire world, so that through Christ, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. Can I tell you this? You say, man, that's news to me. Since when has that been the plan? Listen to what he says. Verse 11, this was according to the eternal purpose. Before the foundation of the world, your rescue was planned and your purpose was planned to show the manifold wisdom of God. It has always, always been the plan. Your lives shouting the glory of God to the world. By the way, that's why we gather. I don't know that you know that, right? We gather to honor Christ, but we also gather. Look at this audience that we have trapped right here that a lot of folks don't have. Most folks in a gathering, and there's nothing wrong with it, go to a building, they shut the doors, and unless the world comes in, they don't see what goes on in there. Look what we've got right here, just on cue. We've got people driving by that see, and it is screaming the honor and glory of Jesus, the inclusion of everyone is welcome. Everyone has a seat at the table. It is the manifold wisdom of God that is being made known through the church, in this case, the church at Southside. That's why we gather, to make him known, that eternal purpose. I pray this morning that this encourages your heart. And I want you to know this. I want to close with this. I'm not going to finish the last couple verses. We'll come back to it next week. So I am going to close. I said that earlier. Don't trust somebody when they say they're about to close. But I promise I'm about to. But I want you to think of this thought as I do. I want you to let the depth and the love and the sincerity of the compassion and the grace of Jesus that knows no bound fill your heart this morning. I think there are words in this passage when it says this, that the church was to be the manifold wisdom of God, that it might be made known to all authorities and in the heavenly places. Listen to what it says. This was according to the eternal purpose. Here's where I want you to let the words just hit down deep and speak to your love language of you are included, you are welcome, you are wanted. When it says that this is the eternal purpose, here's what it means, that a loving God in heaven created mankind. He created you and I knowing that we were going to mess things up royally, that sin was going to enter the picture. He created us knowing in spite of it, and yet his eternal purpose was that the church, his body, would show the manifold wisdom of him, that glory and honor would go back to him in whom it was due. And it means this, that before the foundation of the world, he created you and I, knowing that he must enter the picture, rescue us, redeem us, and bring us into his family. He did that for you and for me on the cross of Jesus. I'm so grateful this morning. I hope you are as well. Will you pray with me this morning? I want you to think about this just as a second as I pray. If you're here this morning, you say, man, I've never quite heard it that way. I've never understood that I was a part of His purpose, that He truly redeemed me, that He offered redemption before He even created me. He made that way. Like, He created you knowing that you were going to sin. The wages, our Bible says, that we earn based on sin are death. But I'm so grateful for the rest of that passage. But the gift of God is eternal life, not just by good works, can't do it, not by church membership, can't happen, not by serving, but the gift of God of His eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. He bought and paid for your freedom, but you got to accept it. That's it. It's simple. That's all you have to do. Accept that grace and mercy and come on into the family of God. My prayers this morning, before I pray, I want you to think this. Have I ever accepted that message of grace, compassion, and mercy? Not, man, what a wonderful day. That's why we gather, is to bring Jesus honor and glory. There's no greater way to glorify Him than to bow the knee and say, I'm in with that Jesus, You took my place. You died for me. I accept forgiveness. I repent of my sin. I turn away from myself and I turn to my Savior. If that's you, please listen to the Holy Spirit and do business with Him this morning. Most important decision you'll ever make. If you've already made that decision, maybe a long time ago, maybe it's new, I pray that you just fall deeper in love with the idea that no matter what you've done, what you're doing, or what you will do, that He loves you and that you have an eternal purpose to let the world know the manifold wisdom of God, to be a part of His church, to bring honor and glory to Jesus with everything that you do, with how you live and how you operate in this world. That is what changes our world for good, that we operate with our divine purpose. Jesus, thank You. Thank You for Your grace and mercy. Thank You for Your gift of that from Your cross. Thank You for bringing us in, not just as strangers or aliens, but I think back just to how it says, but if we were far off, and You've brought us near by Your grace and Your mercy, made us fellow heirs of the kingdom of God. Jesus, we thank You. Jesus, we need You. Jesus, we love You. It is in Your precious name we pray. Amen. Y'all hang tight and we'll call names here in just a little bit for supplies. I love you guys. Thank you for being here this morning.